Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in 3 Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the 7-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues. Today is Monday, so you know what that means. It's our first Monday without our beloved game. We're the first Monday of the off season. Tomorrow we will have out a brand new episode, the top 10 takeaways from Historic Bachelor Season 28. I can't wait to dig into that because there were so many top 10 takeaways, way more than 10.
The season was transcendent. Yeah. I'm still glowing. I'm still in the afterglow of the season 28 finale.
Absolutely. But that's not what we're here to discuss. Today, we're here to discuss some of the biggest clips from around the nation. We've got clips today in this Digging Deeper from Almost Famous with Ben Higgins and Ashley Eckinetti. We got the Skinny Confidential Him and Her podcast.
The Skinny Confidential Him and Her.
They had DLH podcast and Zima on that podcast. We have Reality Life with Kate Casey.
Reality Life.
With an ex-producer of The Bachelor who reveals something very interesting about season 9. We got Off the Vine. We got the Vial Files.
Off the Vine.
We got it all Vial here files. Today for you. So, are you ready, Pace Case?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. This is
Digging Deeper.
We begin today's Digging Deeper with Almost Famous. That's, of course, Ben Higgins and Ashley Iaconetti's podcast. And these first two clips are going to come to us from a March 19th episode in which Ben and Ashley are essentially shitting all over the Women Tell All episode from this last, whatever it was, a couple of weeks ago. I mean, their outrage, their anger at just the premise of the episode itself is off the charts. And I picked some of my favorite clips from it. Here in this first one, we hear Ben and Ashley discussing their hatred of the Women Tell All and what they believe was a fake reconciliation between Maria, Leia, and Sydney. Here we go.
I really hated watching this episode. And the reasons are a few things. One, it's so unhealthy. There's nothing healthy about this. There is no, I know people will probably point and say, yes, but they made up in the end.
No, they didn't.
That was very confusing to me and felt very produced.
Ben, That was girls just wanting to be like, let's get the applause from the audience. We'll apologize. There's no way we're actually going to be friends after this. There's no way we're even going to like smile at each other backstage. That was to appease people and to like make them like everybody look decent in the end.
I mean, this is coming from Ashley Iaconetti, who was Sydney's coach. So I'm sure she knows whether the hatchet was truly buried. And I guess it's not.
I mean, I'm telling you.
Tricked again. I was tricked again.
This entire episode was very wild. They are like on one.
Uh-huh.
And they just pick it all apart. And they're like, this was fake. We know it was all fake. They shouldn't even be doing tell-alls. But here,
Ben is like, this is unhealthy. I'm like,
yeah,
if this is unhealthy, what's the whole franchise? I mean, this is what it is. I don't, what do you mean?
Exactly. They go real hard in this about like how the tell-alls are bad for everybody. And we know that Ashley Iaconetti, like you're saying, has a personal relationship with Sydney, who was involved in that whole brouhaha. And she has had Sydney on her podcast. They did a podcast where they were in Sydney's
clothing store.
What is it? A vintage store or whatever. They recorded one there.
Hmm.
At any rate, I just found this to be very fascinating how much they hate the tell-alls and how much they're just shitting on this moment as like overly produced. What should it have been? Like, is it this toxic thing that's not healthy for anybody and they should have just leaned into that and been fighting the whole time? Or should they at least, even if produced, convey a reconciliation?
Or just like the show shouldn't exist? Like, what do you mean? It's all produced.
It's very bizarre that they have this attitude, in my opinion, especially about this tell-all that has Ashley's friend in it in Sydney. Shouldn't Ashley want Sydney to reconcile, even if only for the cameras?
I'm just trying to think of the tell-alls that they've been a part of. I can't really remember Ben's, but I remember Ashley I coming out to give that big bottle of champagne to Kelsey Weir for her tear play during Popeye season. What, that wasn't produced? They didn't set that up? That was spur of the moment? Huh?
No. Ashley didn't even know that it was happening, the tell-all. She was just passing by and heard the noises.
Heard the noises.
Like, is that a tell-all? I bet Kelsey Weir's in there. You know, I've got my giant champagne bottle. I should give it to her. It was all, it just happened. And there happened to be cameras there, of course.
I think the hatchet will be buried. I think they'll make social media together. I think this is an inaccurate prediction.
Oh, I 100% agree. I'm not saying that they'll be like best of friends, but there's more to be mined here. And the fact that Maria now is not the Bachelorette, she needs to be doing social media, and anything she can do to service that, I think she will, including making social media with both Leia and Sydney. I agree with you 100%.
I think 100% we're going to see a collaborative TikTok between them.
When they're talking about like the hatchet isn't really buried, the truth is this. There's no real hatchet. It's pro wrestling. There's nothing to bury. You know what I mean? It's like we were on this dumb reality show and they cut it to look this way. And yeah, maybe we were like kind of pissed at each other for a week out of our lives in this weird situation. I think ultimately in most reality shows, unless it's like Vanderpump where you're cheating on your significant other on camera and shit like that, unless there's like some real transgression, I think all of this is water under the bridge, in a long enough
arc. Vanderpump, it's water under the bridge.
Yeah, I know that too.
I mean, Tom Sandoval and Ariana are filming during the same season. I mean, they're not in the same scenes together, but
Tom Sandoval and Nick Viall beat the shit out of each other in Special Forces, World's Toughest Test, and Viall had him on his podcast, I think. Who cares? You know what I'm saying?
Everything leads back to Viall. Your beautiful mind.
Including this Digging Deeper. You're going to want to stick around till the end because the last clip of this Digging Deeper is the clip heard around the nation where Viall is talking about how he knows that Maria was the Bachelorette for 3 days. So you will not want to miss that.
Mm.
But let's move on, shall we? Our next clip comes to us again from this same episode of Almost Famous, the Women Tell All recap from March 19th. In this clip, Ashley talks about what she calls Maria blinders for the fourth audience. Here we go.
I do think she gets like a little bit of a blind support from the audience. Like they do not want to hear anybody else's side. And I know where I'm coming. I know the perspective that I'm coming from is different. But it's like you screw with Maria, like you screw with me. Like they feel like she is their best friend. They have like Maria blinders on.
I mean, do we have Maria blinders on? Do you feel like that?
100% I have Maria blinders on. I mean, I took them off with the announcement, but
I think it's exactly the opposite of this. I don't feel like she's my best friend, nor do I have blinders on.
I don't feel like I know any of these people, actually.
Correct. She simply is my favorite character in this season of my favorite TV show. That's all. And I want to see more of her in that TV show.
I see what she's saying. Like, Rachel got all this hate, and I think a lot of it was due to the interaction that they showed between her and Maria at the rose ceremony, where Rachel didn't like her not telling her about the Hail Mary.
They talked a lot about that in this episode as well. I don't have clips of that, but I can kind of paraphrase it. Essentially, Ashley was like, or both of them kind of were like, yeah, you know, I think Rachel got the backlash of it because of that thing at that rose ceremony where she comes back and she's like, why did you do that? Or what did you say to him or something? And that, you know, got her a lot of malignment, shall we say, within the fourth audience, because it was like, the fourth audience is protective of Maria, the Maria blinders. They also made an interesting point later on in this podcast, or at least Ashley did, where she says, you know, but it kind of is like this. Once you get down to the final four, you've been pretty much with those same people 24 hours a day, whether the cameras are there or not, you're in the house, you're traveling, whatever, and you do become good friends. And so it might've just been a matter of Rachel being like very comfortable with Maria at that point, being like, what the fuck are you doing? That kind of comes across in this. But the basic idea to me that we have Maria blinders is like, it just means she's the best character. We all want to see her on the show. It isn't that we have some blind allegiance to like, oh my God, Maria's the best thing. It's like, no.
It's not like she did something in the document that we're all ignoring.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That's what you need to have blinders. You need to be ignoring some negative evidence. And maybe it was cut out, but
I mean, it was. But I also think
I enjoy my blinders.
You know what footage I need to see? Speaking of things that are cut out, I need to see the 3 days of Maria as Bachelorette footage. That should, you can cut an hour long episode out of that for sure. I need to see it. Show me the Maria footage. That's on a hard drive right now somewhere.
I want to know what happened. I want to know what happened.
As do we all.
It's just like her skipping towards the camera and someone says something and then she just beats the shit out of the camera operator.
I really feel that it is, I personally, this is all conjecture, maybe educated conjecture, but I truly feel that it's a matter of what has happened to the most recent Bachelorettes other than Charity. I'm talking about almost specifically Rachel and Gabby, because they were there. Rachel and Gabby were there in the tell-all. They're still very much a part of this franchise, at least publicly facing. But I think even behind the scenes, all these players can talk to them, you know, as they're getting into the final casting of who's going to be the next Bachelorette. I bet everybody who had the paperwork called both of them and were like, should I do this? And they were like, no, you should. My experience was fucking terrible. I think we're in a weird transition.
Yeah, take your hundreds of K.
Like, I can't imagine that. Maybe Gabby is a little different. You know, she got Dancing with the Stars. Her life is very good now. But I think Rachel Recchia probably would universally tell everyone, do not do this. It is a net loss. Mm-hmm. It's going to fuck up your life. And
I mean, look what they did to her on Sand. She's not going to give a good review. They made her look a fool.
And I think that may be a part of why we got a double crown rejection, or at least a single crown rejection and a crown revocation.
Blown up?
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like we're never going to know it, and I'm sad about that, but
we will. We will.
We will.
Yeah. A year from now, Maria's going to hit the podcast circuit. We will know.
All right.
We will know.
I'll mark my calendar.
What was that? The line in my first radio hit, Dark Seasons. It was
radio hit.
It goes, God damn, how does it go? Dark Seasons. Yeah. Dark Seasons have dark secrets and we will know them all one day. This I promise you, my friend.
That's true. We did know them.
We will know them all one day. This is true. I meant that when I wrote it. All right. Let's move on, shall we? Our next clip comes to us from comes to us from the Skinny Confidential Him and Her podcast. The hosts for this podcast are Lauren Everts Bostick and Michael Bostick, her husband. The guests on their March 20th episode were none other than Merritt Street Media morning show hosts, Dark Lord Harrison and Lauren Zima. That shit, by the way, I think that Merritt Street Media launches in like 4 or 5 days. It's April 2nd.
You are the only person who is excited about this launch.
That's not true. Dr. Phil is. All right.
You don't know that.
Yeah, he's like, this was a mistake. I should have never launched my own cable network with fucking Chris Harrison and Lauren Zima.
Probably a bad time to launch a cable network.
It's supposedly it's on streaming. I'm looking every way I can to figure out how to watch this shit. And I simply can't figure it out.
Not a good sign.
If anybody out there knows how I can watch it without having a cable account, please DM me.
We will see it all. Yeah.
All right. So in this next clip, this is Lauren Bostic discussing how she believes she could win the game of The Bachelor. And then DOH tries to rain on her parade by discussing the third audience. Here we go.
You want to fly under the radar, yeah. But here is the caveat to your dreams. Producers, we're going to get to the bottom of Lauren. We're going to push you. And if you are playing the game and you're not playing it the way we want, we're going to make life very difficult on you.
And they've been doing this for a long time.
We're undefeated.
I'm game. I still think if you will lean in. I'll lean into, I would definitely lean into using the producers to the advantage and doing what they needed.
Right. You would be good. I think you're savvy enough.
Okay. First of all, he's still using the word we to describe what the producers are doing, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
And I love this phrase, the caveat to your dreams. He's a poet.
When I heard that, I was like, oh my God. And then he proceeds to basically illustrate how the producers have engineered the caveat to your dreams. And it talks about how they're undefeated and shit.
Undefeated is so funny.
Yeah. What he doesn't understand is like what the game of it is. Manipulating the producers. And that's what Lauren Bostic kind of talks about. Like, oh, I'd get them on my side. That is part of the game. And I would argue that
he thinks she's just talking about her first audience.
Yeah. He doesn't get it. He's like, look, it's not a game. And if it is, the producers will always win. And it's like, they will, in quotes, always win, I suppose, because the show must exist. Like, it must be produced. They ultimately have all the control over the edit, whatever, whatever. There's a subtlety in the third audience game that he doesn't quite understand. It is literally the ability to manipulate the producers to cut you how you want to be cut, to do the things you want to do in physical production. I don't want to do that date. What if we did this one instead? Like if you do what Claire Crawley does, for example, fuck this. I'm not going on any dates with anybody or whatever. She just kind of like did Wrecking Ball style in season 16. They don't respond well to Wrecking Ball style. It's more of a...
She didn't defeat them.
No, they defeated her for sure. You have to play more of a like, look, I love everything you guys are doing and I totally appreciate what you're doing. What if we tried it like this? It's like you have to present ideas to them that they can then be like, oh yeah, and what if we did this? So that it feels like they are coming up with the idea or taking a kernel of your idea and augmenting it in their producer way and only the way that they can do. That is truly how you play the third audience. In my opinion.
Or you start shit talking someone to yourself where, quote unquote, the third audience doesn't know if you want to build up that rivalry. You got to do things in order to make them want to feel like they're still creating the story.
Yeah. As soon as they mic you, you just go in a corner and like rock back and forth and be like, I hate horses. I hate horses. I can't be on the horse one-on-one date. I hate horses. I hate horses. I cannot ride that
horse.
Not
another spa. They better not put me in a spa.
I've had so much trauma in spas. I will break down. I will have a nervous breakdown if you put me in a spa. Please don't put me in a spa or on
Take
a horse.
Me to the
I don't want a helicopter. Pretty woman dates will make me go insane. You just want to do that kind of thing so that they can hear it.
I hate helicopters, pretty woman dates. I hate them all.
Diamonds. Oh my God. Diamonds killed my parents. I can't see diamonds. Okay, let's move on.
Diamonds killed my parents. Yeah. That's so good.
All right. Let's move on now. This next clip, we got two more clips. And again, remember, we got these Vial clips coming up at the end. Oh, Jesus. They're so good. It's so much sour grapesing. There's a bunch of him like just shitting on social media, saying that it's like poison and a weapon and all this stuff. They're fascinating clips. So definitely stick around to the end of the podcast for that. But right now, this next clip that we're going to play is DLH discussing a few people that he considered to be what he calls enemies of the state. You are not going to want to miss this. Let's take a listen. If you want to hear that clip and all these other clips and all of our Digging Deepers and get all those Pace Case Palapas and get all of those Clues Quarters, get every episode we do ad free.
Get our live shows.
I knew I was forgetting something. The live shows, 4:30 p.m. PST. If you want to get all of that stuff.
The Discord.
And the Discord where you could submit your own screams. How could I forget that?
Our back catalog.
Our back catalog. There's just so much. I can't even keep it in my head. All you have to do to get access to all of it is go to patreon.com/gameofroses. Join us in the bottom of the pit.
It's the pit. You can get it in. Dig around in all this content. It's the pit. Come on, admit. You want to eat up all these tasty tidbits. It's the pit. There's room enough to fit everyone who wants to come in. It's the pit. You can get it in. And dig around in all this content. It's the pit. Come on, admit, you wanna eat up all these tasty tidbits. It's the pit, there's room enough to fit everyone who wants to come in. It's the pit.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the 7-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.